Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, the most confidential knowledge. This is chapter 9, text 30. Krishna speaking, nearing his conclusion. Even if one commits the most abominable action, he's speaking about the glory of his devotees and his devotional service and his reciprocation with his devotees. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Comment. The power of the devotee's determination to perform bhakti exclusively causes Krishna to uplift and protect him, even if he has acted improperly. So the Prabhupada's purport confirms this. Quote, the words sadhur eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. The comment continues. Thus, a devotee should not commit sins thinking, quote, I'm a devotee and therefore I can act according to my whim. Such a mentality is the seventh offense against chanting the holy name of the Lord. Navidite tasya yamar hishudhi. Those who adopt that mentality will never be purified, even if carried to the court of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Thus, Krishna's words glorify the strength of bhakti and reveal his partiality toward his unalloyed devotees. Still, the question may be raised, how can a person who is sudarachara, committing highly improper activities, be seen as saintly? Text 31 addresses that. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, Krishna says, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Comment. Such a fixed devotee is quickly purified by his desire to remember the Lord. As Srila Prabhupada points out, there is no need for him to perform ceremonial atonement, prayaschitta. Devotion alone is sufficient. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on verses 30 through 31 as follows. One may ask, but if someone is corrupted by such bad behavior, how can he be a sadhu? This is answered. He should be considered as such and thought of as a sadhu. He should be considered is an injunctive statement. If this injunction is disobeyed, there will be unfavorable consequences. In other words, the evidence for the truth of this is that it is simply my command, Krishna says. Well, someone might say, one may be considered a sadhu partially to the extent that he is worshipping you, but to the extent that he is usurping other men's wives and property, he is not to be considered a sadhu. This is answered by the word eva, only. He should only be considered a sadhu in all ways, completely. We should never view him as not a sadhu. His determination is completely fixed. Quote, I may go to hell or obtain an animal birth because of my unavoidable sinful reactions, but I will never give up my exclusive worship of Sri Krishna. End quote. Such determination is praiseworthy. But one might ask, Why do you accept the worship of such an irreligious person? Why do you consume the food and drink offered by one whose heart is contaminated by lust, anger, and other faults? In response, the Lord says, he quickly becomes righteous, becomes religious. This is not expressed as he's going to quickly become, or he will soon achieve peace. Rather, the present tense is used. He becomes and he attains. The Lord continues. This means that immediately after he commits impiety, he remembers me and feels remorse. He thus quickly becomes religious. He thinks, alas, alas, there's no person more fallen than me. I defile the reputation of the community of devotees. Damn me. Again and again, feeling remorse like this, he achieves complete peace and detachment. Well, one may say, if he actually becomes religious, there can be no argument about such a person. But what about a devotee whose behavior is wicked and who fails to give up his bad behavior throughout his whole life? What can be said about him? Always affectionate to his devotees, the Lord responds to this doubt with complete confidence and with some anger in the words beginning, Kaunteya. My devotee never perishes. Even when he dies, he never falls down. To encourage Arjuna, who is disturbed with sorrow and apprehension over the thought that hard-earned quibblers who indulge in false logic will not accept this, the Lord says, quote, O Kaunteya, go to the assembly of these disputants and making a loud sound with drums and cymbals, raise your arms fearlessly and declare my promise. I, Krishna, am the Supreme Lord, and even if my devotee is wicked in his behavior, he will never perish. On the contrary, such a devotee is sure to become successful. Their bad logic will be shattered by this confident declaration. They will certainly take shelter of you as their guru. Such is the interpretation given by Sridhar Swami in his commentary. Someone may ask, but why doesn't the personality of Godhead himself make this promise? Why does he instead deputize Arjuna to promise? In the same way as the Lord will later say, without a doubt you'll come to me. I promise this because you are very dear to me. Why doesn't he now say, Kaunteya, I promise that my devotee will never perish? Here is the answer. At that moment, the Lord was thinking, I am very affectionate to my devotees and cannot tolerate their being discredited at all. I will often break even my own promise and let myself be discredited to protect my devotees' promise. For example, I will soon fight with Bhishma and discard my own promise in order to protect Bhishma's promise. Thus, atheistic, logical quibblers will only laugh if I now offer my own promise, but they will have to acknowledge Arjuna's promise as if it was written in stone. Therefore, I will have Arjuna make this promise. That's the end of the comment on text 31 by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. And our comment continues. Krishna continues glorifying the path of bhakti, and we shall continue with Krishna's words in text 32 quite soon, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.